Hello, and thank you for listening to the ARCOP podcast, September 2022. Including the newsletter this month are perspectives from our recent visit to the UK and Ireland, updates on the now locked 2.3.1 protocol, triple DES encryption, and the updated authentication scorecard. I'm James Jenkins, and in the podcast this month, Matt Cook and I discuss, amongst other things, implementing 3DS best practice to increase overall approval rates. Okay. Hi, Matt.
James, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You?
Good. Good to see you.
You too. So we just got back from a trip.
We did. Yeah, we just came back from a very exciting trip towards the UK, and we did a little bit of Ireland as well.
We did, right? So yeah. We did Dublin, Edinburgh, London, and some productive meetings. So, I mean, thanks to everybody who gave up the time to see us. Fruitful conversations, right? Very timely, peak shopping season. What's going on in payments as ever?
Yeah, I mean, it's that area, those countries are the heart of PSD2 and quickly becoming the heart of what I think is the next chapter in payment authentication, to be honest. There's been a lot of, if we think about how far we've come in just 1 year, we've had PSD2 go into effect at scale in the UK. And previous to that, we already had it going in the EU. And, you know, I think if I think about it, the first phase was, okay, let's just get everyone compliant. And now the second phase is one much more interesting, which is how do we now optimize and how do we figure out use of exemptions? And is it a merchant-led SCA or is it a issuer-led authentication? So we're starting to see lots of experiments and a lot of the largest payment processors and payment providers running experiments to see what's going to work best. How do we take advantage of exemptions? What's the role of 3DS in those exemptions? There's a lot of interesting things going on.
Yeah, I think there's some great examples of 3DS best practice really coming into play now. And you coined the phrase, you know, make 3DS work better, right? I think one of the things we've seen in UK, Ireland, and actually across Europe is some great examples of 3DS working better, largely because it was enforced, right? We discussed, you know, you have the merchant, you have the issuer. In order for this to work, both parties have to play ball. And I think that some of that legislation actually kind of forced some of the behaviors. It was kind of painful at times, right? But it did align. I think broadly now it's working. But now we're entering the phase where we can really optimize it and drive those approval rates. And I think that those examples of best practice can only be good for the industry. I'm sure that we'll see some of those examples then start to feed into the, you know, North America market and other markets. And we can share some of that best practice. I think that's one of the objectives of calls like this, right? And the newsletter that we share is going to share that experience that we're seeing in the industry.
Yeah, agreed. And you know what's most exciting right now is that we're finally starting to see authentication and authorization working together. I would say that the past few years, it hasn't been the case, right? There's been, you know, obviously authorization systems have been in play for a very long period of time. There's an established set of rules and that span across retail and e-commerce, and authentication has been mostly on the e-commerce side, and you didn't always, you know, the right foot didn't always know what the left foot was doing. And so when something was approved or denied during authentication, that information didn't always make it to the authorization system. And so that we're still kind of flying blind and not taking advantage of a lot of the data that is inherent and the rich data set that's inherent in the authentication stream. So we're starting to see some of that change, and it's pretty encouraging. Some of the early results are encouraging. And I'll say what I'm seeing the industry coalesce around is it's approval rates, it's auth rates, it's authorization approval rates. And that that's really the only thing that matters, and that we're all shooting for the same thing. That's the beauty of what we're trying to accomplish right now in this space around whether it's authentication or authorization. We're all trying to accomplish the same thing, which is how do we drive or allow legitimate transactions to get through the system, and how do we prevent fraudulent transactions from making it through? And the best way to measure that is those approval rates on the auth stream, because that's the final verdict of was it approved or not approved. And now we're starting to see with some of these exemptions and some of the reason codes that are being used on the 3DS rails, we're starting to able to now have the authentication stream stamp a transaction as approved with the CAVV code. And then that makes its way into the authorization stream where the auth systems now know that they can inherently trust those transactions more than if it wasn't coming through authentication. And we're starting to see that actually exemptions over the 3DS rails are driving higher approval rates, which is amazing. It's merchants are winning, issuers are winning, everybody's winning, right? Cardholders, purchasers, everybody wins in that scenario.
Yeah, everybody certainly. Wins. Yeah. Everybody wins. And if you think about to your point on the 3DS part within the issuer, then you've got the authorization system, then you've got merchant, right? And all three instruments need to be tuned in order for the music to play as correctly, right? It's kind of as simple as that. And if I think about, our time we've been working on this, the 3DS part at the issuer, it was a need, right? We need an ACS in place to handle these authentication requests coming from merchants. But as the industry's evolved, we cannot have these systems working in isolation anymore. All right. So we've connected, as we know, right, the ACS to authorization systems for real-time decisioning. But now we're working with merchants for exemption flags to get everything working together. And I think it's a really important point you make around approvals because, we hear, and I'm going to call it out, we hear some people in the market saying, 3DS is the conversion killer, right? And it's just, how can that be? I just, first of all, it's not reflected in the data that we're seeing, right? But secondly, the idea that the amount of time, effort, resources that have gone into building this protocol would result in lower approval rates is, as we would say in the UK, for the birds, right? It's just not going to happen. Now, if we're seeing lower than expected approval rates, that to us, I think, is the opportunity to innovate and implement best practice, because to your point, when that occurs, you get higher approval rates on 3DS than you do straight to authorization. So for those who read the newsletter, we're now calling 3DS the conversion king. We're going to take on the people calling us the conversion killer. It's not, it's the conversion king. 3DS equals higher approval rates.
Yeah, I mean, if it were a conversion killer, we're doing something wrong, because there is more data on the authentication stream. That's an inarguable fact, right? There are more data fields. There's more information coming through authentication than you can get through authorization. Now, if more data leads to worse results, then we're doing something wrong, because more data should inherently lead to better results. And the good news is we're starting to see that, right? We're starting to see, especially on the hottest exemption right now is acquirer TRA. Where merchants, let me say two things. One is, I think this conversion killer, conversion king, I think 3DS historically has been about issuers playing defense in that, hey, if issuers are going to be stuck with the fraud liability associated with a transaction that gets through, that's fraudulent, then you have to allow them to play defense. Issuers need to be able to play defense. And they also had to be in compliance with regulatory mandates. But now we're starting to see 3DS becoming a way to play offense, and that we can all play offense and driving higher approval rates. And the hot exemption right now that we are really focused on is this acquirer TRA exemption. It's probably the most used exemption. There might be a low value one that's up there as well, but acquirer TRA is the big one. And because you can do acquirer TRA two ways. You can do acquirer TRA direct to authorization and not send it through the 3DS rails, and then not have a CAVV code to inform the authorization system that it's already been authenticated. Or you can send it via 3DS, and you can go through the authentication that's in the value that's inherent in that 3DS system with more data and risk scoring and making sure that everyone's on the same page. And then you will inform the authorization system that the transaction has been authenticated. And so that's an 05 reason code for those that are in the weeds, which we absolutely are, right? So 05 challenge indicator is acquire TRA. And it's interesting to look at the data, and I actually have some of it in front of me right now. So when we look at the 05 reason codes that we're getting, for the UK and Ireland in particular, the system's working. I mean, authentication success rates are both above 98%. So 98.5 in the UK and 98.6 in Ireland. And the challenge rates, it's like 5% and 3% respectively, UK and Ireland. So issuers are honoring, they're doing the right thing. When an acquirer asks for TRA via 3DS, they're doing the right thing. They're not challenging. They're saying, okay, this looks like it's a valid a transaction. It's authenticated. And then what we're seeing through some of our merchant partners is that we're starting to see those results are also just as strong in the authorization system, where we're starting to see meaningful improvement in approval rates for acquired TRA sent via 3DS versus acquired TRA sent direct to auth. So 3DS appears to be doing its job, and I'm cautiously optimistic that as we enter phase two of PSD2 or 3DS adoption, and we're really doing this thing at scale in some of these, in particular the EU and the UK, it seems to be working. The system seems to be working. I'm cautiously optimistic that, yeah, I know that all of our issuers are prepared and are responding to O5 reason codes in the right way. And so it feels like if we really can do this at scale, we'll make a meaningful mark on approval rates and while stopping the maximum amount of fraud.
Yeah. And it makes logical sense that if you share additional data with an issuer, you would expect that that would have ultimately higher approval rates. I mean, there are, we've been talking about like almost like two tiers of merchant, right? So if you've got the, let's start with the tier two merchants. What's the benefit of 3DS primarily to a tier two merchant? Well, they get liability shift, right? And we talk about, you know, and I'm talking a small merchant that sets up an e-commerce site. If they are hit with a large fraud attack, they could take that business down, right? You could literally take them out. So this was always the view on 3DS. Well, if you implement, you pass liability to the issuer, you're protected. You can still benefit from all of the, you know, the sales growth that you get from having a an e-commerce site. But we're now in the era of mega merchants with highly sophisticated fraud and risk tools, where they're taking in a ton of data, doing a risk assessment, and yeah, what we hear is it's imminently, you know, frustrating for a merchant who knows that this is a genuine transaction. And I say knows inverted commas, right? But high probability this is a genuine transaction. They then pass it through, you know, the very thin pipe, right, of a one-way traffic into authorization. And that authorization system can only deal with what it's, it can only deal with what it's told, right? I mean, they're not, I would argue, not as sophisticated as some of the systems we have, but also they can't, they're not seeing as much information, right? So it makes logical sense that you're going to be disproportionately declined at higher rates by direct to auth. However, and to your point, if you route that transaction into 3DS, you do the handshake, it's signed, and then it comes through. Yeah, and because it's signed, that authorization says, oh, I see that this is a 3DS transaction. It's been authenticated. We let it through, higher overall approval rates. And I would say as well, the when we talk authentication, I mean, particularly a lot of merchants, I think, right, when they hear 3DS and they hear authentication, they hear friction, they hear problems, low approval rates. But authentication really just means a verification of the identity of that cardholder, right? This is genuine. And we don't need to do step up. We don't need to do OTP, biometrics, app based in order to do that. And I think you coined the phrase, you know, the idea that a merchant would want to insert an issuer into that payment experience kind of seems illogical, right? So now we're talking about 3DS authentication really is doing a data exchange. And I mean, Matt, in those instances where a step up is required, I mean, do we care who does it? Do we care if the merchant does it?
No. I think we should all think that the merchant, if they can do it and they're a trusted merchant and they're legitimate, SCA compliant type merchant, we should let them do it as much as we possibly can, honestly, because they are going to do it in the context of their flow. They often know that purchaser. If they think it's risky, they won't apply for the exemption, right? So that's the I think the future will definitely have a higher proportion of overall transactions with merchants, or the merchant-led authentication versus a issuer-led authentication. But the issuer always gets to play defense, right? You always get to, we score every transaction. You can build rules that say, hey, you can allow the exemption unless the risk score is of a certain, in the high risk zone, and then you can go through normal challenge processes. And we're seeing that happen, right? So we're seeing that, you know, approximately 5% of all these transactions in the UK and Ireland, issuers are still choosing to play defense and challenge, which is exactly, it feels about like the right number, right? It's like, you know, there should be about 5% that appear to be high risk that just can't be trusted. And so our system allows them to play defense on those, but allow the other ones to go through. And it leads to everyone making more money, honestly, and happier shoppers, better shopping experience.
Yeah, that's key. All comes down to approvals, right? More money for everybody, happier customers, more transactions, more interchange, right? Which is always key. So in line with the, you know, the new phrase that 3DS is the conversion king, I'll say that again. So let's talk about some of the rules that we're putting in place, what we're calling fortress rules, because in some areas, you know, non-regulated markets, we are seeing merchants sending high-risk transactions down the rails, which means that issuers are playing defense, which makes it difficult, right? If issuers are only seeing high-risk transactions, that kind of is difficult to manage, right? And they get disproportionately declined in 3DS. And then we've even seen instances where authorization systems are tuned to see 3DS as high-risk, which is kind of up down, right? Authorization systems should see a 3DS transaction and think, great, this is trusted, it's been authenticated, away we go. Now, when we're in that stalemate, if you're going to get out of stalemate, someone needs to move by definition. So we've made the kind of the first move by working with our issuers on the fortress rule set to kind of unblock this. Do you want to talk a bit about the fortress rule set and how it came about and where we're at in that process?
Yeah, absolutely. As we started to really dig into the data around these challenge indicator codes. So what are merchants telling? In fact, at 3DS is a data interchange. So what are merchants telling the issuers that they would prefer how they handle the transaction? So the one I gave before was the example of how they prefer acquire TRA with an 05 reason code, you know, SCA not required, and just mark it, you know, code it, and then send it on to authorization. The other ones, right? There's like the 01, which is no preference, the 02, which is no challenge. 03 is like, yes, please challenge. So, you know, there's very explicit codes that are a message from the merchant. It's a way for them to communicate directly with the issuer during a checkout transaction. And what we found was that there were times where the issuers, not by any, there's no like poor intent here, right? Nobody was saying, oh yeah, but the rule sets get complicated over time. They just do. And various, a certain fraud attack may hit, and then the issuers may change their rule set, and it just kind of builds up over time, and you end up with rule set debt. You know, it's like tech debt, but for rule sets. And I just made that up, but you get this rule set debt where sometimes you lose the signal through the noise. And all of a sudden we said, all right, what we need for this whole overall ecosystem to be successful, merchants need to be able to count on or expect a certain behavior from the issuer. And if they're able to communicate with the issuer, tell them what they know, and most of the time get the response that they think they should get, that's where this thing really takes off and we start to really drive approval rates at scale. And so what we found was sometimes it was inconsistent. Issuers were inconsistently responding to these reason codes. And I think that merchants haven't yet consistently set those reason codes, right? They're still experimenting and figuring out how to do it. So I think it goes both ways, but chicken or egg. And what we decided was we're going to work directly with our customers to put in place what we call the fortress rule set, which is, hey, this is the gold standard of rules that you should have in place, and you should prioritize these rules so that merchants can count on the expected result, and then we will get the behavior we want from the overall system. So we're saying, you know, when it's a 03, the merchant's asking for challenge, you better challenge. And most of the time it's happening, right? I'm looking at some of the data here. It's high 80s, 90s, that actually when they're asking for challenge, it's getting challenged. When they're saying no challenge, you could go either way. You want clearly want to do a risk score, and you want to, based upon that risk score, you challenge, you don't challenge. But most of the time it's okay, but sometimes we're seeing, you know, 40s, 50% of the time, those marked as no challenge are getting challenged. And maybe that's okay, maybe it's not. But I would think that if the merchant has done a risk assessment and they're saying no challenge, but it doesn't qualify for any exemptions, you know, you should start to figure out what the challenge rate is. And then no preference is like all bets are off, put the best possible rule set in place. So that's what we're doing, is we're working with the large set of issuers that we have. And we're saying, hey, Fortress rule set, you should prioritize the following rules so that merchants can get the behavior they expect, which will drive higher approval rates for everybody. So that's the net of it. And so far it's been pretty encouraging. We've communicated it out. We're starting to make some of the changes right now. Clearly issuers always have veto ability on their own rule sets. We're not presuming to be able to make rule changes on their behalf, but we're working directly with them to make sure that everything's a conscious choice, that we're consciously putting in place a strategy that is likely going to be the best result for the issuers and for the merchants alike.
Yeah, which enables merchants then to, as we described, turn on the valve, start sending transactions with these codes with a high degree of confidence they'll be processed in the right way. And ultimately, I mean, everybody wins in that. From a issuer point of view, they are able to manage more transactions, which means they see the full picture rather than just the fraudulent, the high risk transactions. They get the data that which they can leverage. They're benefiting from all the benefits of exemptions, including liability staying with the merchant. And then merchants and issuers benefit from higher approval rates. And it's pretty timely in the run up to peak shopping season.
Yeah, right, I think so. And I think it's going to be really interesting. I think this next phase, I think, is going to be the era of acquirer TRA. That's going to be the next chapter, I think, which will be that 05 reason code I mentioned. I think that'll be the next 6 to 12 months, and we'll start to make meaningful improvement in acquirer TRA. And I think we'll start to really see the system deliver results. I think shortly thereafter, the holy grail that everybody's trying to figure out, and we, you know, all of our conversations last week and the things we do for the past few weeks and months, is delegated authentication is the holy grail that everyone's trying to get to, where the merchants are actually able to run the show and able to do that in exchange for issuers trusting them. And we'll have direct relationships between merchants and issuers to test this out. But that's where merchants get to lead the authentication, tell the issuer what they're doing, inform them why they're doing what they're doing through the authentication rails, and then so that the issuer can then respond accordingly in authorization. So I think that's the short term. We do a lot of exemptions and acquire TRA via 3DS. And I think medium term is going to be delegated authentication, where we really see this thing take off.
Yeah, I think that's right. 05.
05 is right. Yeah, and then 07 is delegated off. So
yeah, 05, you know, and 07.
We start talking in these arcane codes, but that's how you know you're talking to a 3DS person.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I think that rule set debt is going to stick. There you go. So I think
it's hard to say though. That's the problem.
It is. It certainly is. Not is for some. So okay, very good. And I would just say a shout out to the scorecard, because the way you can obviously measure how successful we're being with those rules overall is with the scorecard.
Yep.
Yeah. So continue to use those. Work with guidance for issuers and merchants. Work with the CSMs. Optimize the rule set. Use the scorecard. And then also the value reports was just a final comment I had. So everyone should be getting the value reports. Details are in the newsletter, but I think they should be very helpful. We've had some great initial feedback, and customers will receive those automatically now on a quarterly basis. So I think one is get the system optimized, and then we can use the dashboard, the scorecards to kind of tweak the rules, make sure it's performing well. And then the value reports will show actually what the business metrics show us, in terms of, you know, what's the outcome? Why is this important? And we'll continue to monitor it on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think so we run internally that we have a call every week called Data Driven Execution, where we just get on with all of our data scientists and a bunch of our smartest folks, and we go through the data and what's going on. And, you know, the hot topic is these reason codes. And we're looking at, okay, based on certain reason codes, what are the challenge rates, the challenge success rates, the authentication success rates? And we're going through all the data by country, by issuer, by merchant. We're going all over the place. And I would encourage anyone, either issuers or merchants, if you're interested, we run these reports specifically for you. And, you know, use your scorecard. We have these value reports. But I would say, you know, I bet after coming after this conversation, if you don't know the distribution of your transactions across these reason codes, you should check it out, because I think that you'll find it pretty interesting. And to see, all right, am I truly prepared? Like, am I behaving appropriately for when merchants ask for certain behavior and tell me certain things that they believe about the transaction? Am I listening? And is my rule set tuned to respond accordingly? And so I would encourage everyone to embrace data-driven execution. And we're trying to provide as much data as we can back to both our customer base and to other stakeholders in the industry. So even for merchants that aren't using our 3DS server, we're running these reports, we're running experiments, we're running pilots, because we just want this thing to work better. And we're fighting on behalf of our issuer customers to say, all right, let's get more of this optimal behavior into the system so that everybody can trust the results and really get the benefits that that everyone's paying for. So I think everyone should embrace data-driven execution, and we will be responsive and support you in any way we can, provide as much data as we possibly can to help drive the right strategies.
Yeah, totally. And let's realize the promise and all the resource and effort, time, money that's gone into 3DS, all the different versions, industry players, EMVCO, the programs. Everybody's been, you know, this has been done for a reason, which is that this 3DS can become the standard. I'm more convinced than ever that it is going to become the standard. All we need to do is just get these parties playing together, get everything optimized, and I think it will take off. Certainly, that's what we're hearing, right? Issuers, to your point, they're ready pretty much, right? Our issuers are pretty much ready on the rules. There's some little bits of work to do, and merchants are coming. Merchants like exemptions and they like higher approval rates. So I think we can expect an uptick in transaction volumes. So.
Yeah, I think another interesting point is, you know, I was, I was an economics undergrad major, Adam Smith, Invisible Hand, Market Forces, all this stuff. And this has been an interesting case study where government regulations in the form of PSD2, if we look at it right, I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll be able to drive higher approval rates, and actually because of this regulation. And so this is what it was set up to do. And it actually looks like it might work, because now what we're seeing in these, in the PSD2 environments of Europe, UK, those places, is that, okay, actually now 3DS could help drive higher approval rates in those countries than we're seeing in non-regulated markets such as the US. And that makes you question, like, okay, the US is renowned for 3DS usage in the US as you send a lot of the high-risk stuff, right? Which means, by definition, that the issuers need to play extreme defense on the 3DS transactions, because they know that the merchant's only going to send the stuff that is high risk, because they don't want friction in their transaction if they deem it to be low risk. But if we're changing the script here and we're letting these regulated countries lead the way and show us how this can be done better, all of a sudden in these non-regulated markets like the US, you can just send 3D, you send the transaction via 3DS, but you can maintain control, right, of using some of these reason codes. But if you send it all, then the system can start to work as designed. And now all of a sudden the issuers can start to parse through this stuff and not assume that everything's terrible that comes in via 3DS. And so, and then we'll start to be able to see, how do we use authentication as a driver of approval rates? And I think that's the concept that all of us should try to embrace, is, can authentication be a driver of approval rates? And conceptually, it's hard to say no to that question, right? It's hard to say that if you're able to authenticate and the purchaser is who they say they are, that you couldn't drive higher approval rates. It just makes too much sense. But we've kind of bastardized this 3DS authentication system in various parts of the world based upon liability shift and historical views on friction and, you know, choppy cardholder experiences when you do invoke 3DS. And like, so, but we've come so far. And now all of a sudden we're at a point where 3DS can be the data interchange that allows communication between merchants and issuers, not just in regulated markets, but also in non-regulated markets as well. So starting to run some pilots in the US and in other countries, in addition to the ones that we talk about a lot, which is UK, Ireland, and Europe and Sweden, all those places, right? So I think that it's pretty optimistic that if we get it right in Europe, that we will be able to get it right in the US and other non-regulated markets.
Yeah, totally agree, Matt. Totally agree. Approval rates are a reflection of the level of trust. And it's hard to think that trust wouldn't be higher with more data being exchanged, which is where 3DS comes in.
Makes too much sense. It does.
Okay, very good. I think that feels like a logical place to close out. Any closing comments, Matt?
No, again, yeah, get in touch. You know, we love this stuff. We like to geek out on it. You know, we're not even, you know, and oftentimes it's just answering people's questions and happy to, like, you know, just kind of work through this whole next phase of the 3DS journey together. So please reach out, let us know how we can help, and we'll try to be as responsive as we can.
Yeah, let's collaborate. Okay. Well, great. Well, as ever, thank you, Matt.
Great. Thanks for hosting.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great month. Keep focusing on your Fortress rule sets and setting more transactions. And we'll talk to you again in October.
See you later.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.